This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And in this week's iRescue Radio, we're going to talk about several different things. Number one, to stay in line with what we've been doing before, we're going to talk a little bit about the iRescue topics related to feedbacks from our ProCPR.org website.
Mm-hmm. Jody doesn't want to.
I know. He wanted to change, you know.
Yeah, it's such a pooper party.
Well, no, I just like what? Freshness.
Freshness?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So I like to keep things moving.
Well, you might have to go to a different podcast for freshness.
Actually, it smells a little stale in here. Yeah. When you're three men in one room for a while.
Yeah.
Well.
Just thinking up subject matter.
There's some kind of matter.
Brain matter.
So let's, first of all, let's take a look at the first good comment.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm ready.
So Shelley says, I thought this was an excellent review of CPR. It was very helpful to review the videos several times if needed. Mm-hmm. One suggestion would be to demonstrate position head, if possible, neck or spinal injury present before beginning rescue breaths. Jody, answer that one. This goes out to you, Shelley.
All right.
Oh, look, no. Someone has to listen in order to answer it.
Roy's always wanted to be Dick Clark.
No, really the reality is what she's asking about is she's saying, how do you position the head for someone that has a spinal injury? Well, here's the deal. When it comes to airway, breathing, circulation, those are the most important things when it comes to any kind of rescue. Yes, you want to consider spinal injury as an important thing to avoid making worse. However, if a person is not breathing, spinal injury goes out the window at that moment because the breathing is more important than the spinal injury. If a person needs CPR, the CPR is more important at that moment. There is a special technique that we still do in the EMS field, which is the modified jaw thrust, which allows the jaw to be lifted up forward so that it can open the airway enough to get oxygen airway in. But for the general rescuer, it's best to do a head tilt chin lift and give breaths and do normal CPR.
Dead people don't need their spine.
Nope. Very true.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Shelley. Now, this next one, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. This was a concern that they had, and not just this person's concern. Let me tell you that.
Okay.
We've gotten asked this one a lot. Mm-hmm. This is from a person who said, yeah, I'm not going to pronounce the name because I'm going to mess it up. In the first video, the host mentions five fears, but only four are made clear. Mm-hmm. In the video, number one, he talks about getting sued, disease, and being unsure of whether they're going to know how to do things correctly. Mm-hmm. He says, if hurting someone is the fourth fear, it's not very clear. And the second video states safety as being the fifth and only legitimate fear, but I had to go back and watch the first video again as I felt like I missed the fourth fear.
Mm-hmm. And for those of our listeners that have not gone through our certification program, one of the introductory videos is about the five fears of why people do not respond to a crisis.
Yeah, in fact, stop listening right now. Pause it. Go to procbr.org, go to the video.
Then begin the podcast again.
Go to the video tab and then click on five fears.
That's for the full multimedia treatment.
Right. Yes. So that you can relate
we're
to this.
More than a podcast.
So you can we're interactive.
We're an incast.
Interactive. There you go.
Not an outcast.
Well, anyways, it's going to be fixed soon. Probably this year. Because I'm tired of hearing this same statement over and over and over again.
No, the one I'm more tired of is,
what's up with the cat?
That one I haven't heard in a while.
Oh,
the,
man.
The cat is so important to safety.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Because cats are evil.
Yeah.
And you don't want cats
Thanks,
in your way.
Jody.
Because.
Thank you, you feline because, lover.
Because. Because.
Moving right
they
along.
They will cause you to get into accidents.
Moving right along.
So I get home last night.
Yeah.
First thing I see is I walk towards our counter. I look out on the back patio, half a chipmunk.
Nice.
Oh.
Well, the outer half is gone. The inner half is now part of the upper half. And I look at my daughter, who had to have the cat.
You know what? In cat language, they're saying, you're more important to me than the innards of a chipmunk.
Okay. In proceeding on with my story, I turn to my teenage daughter, who has plenty of time for Facebook, but claims to be busy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Jan said, can't you just say hi to her before you give her an instruction? I said, not when I'm staring at half a chipmunk that the dog will go out and process and then smell up the house with.
Hey, then you're all set.
Stop what you're doing. So my daughter goes out there. We find this out during counseling last night. My wife ended up doing the cleaning up because Kate went out there with a shovel and started gagging over the process. Oh, so Jan just went out there and scooped out up with a flat shovel. And instead of putting it in a bag like I had recommended and putting it in the garbage, she tried to do the
chuck it across the yard thing.
Chuck it across out into the woods.
Yeah.
Hit a tree and just drop it.
Nice.
Okay, so back to our main topic.
So you set Mia out, who swiftly found it.
Yeah, because like the dog won't find that 12 feet away.
Yeah, like 45 feet away. That nose was just like...
Mm. And why was the cat losing weight? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh boy! So anyway,
so that is a
that was a huge derail.
You had to just share it.
Left hook. Getting back to the five fears, there really is five fears, and in our next redo of that video, it should be a little more clear.
We missed confusion.
Well, I don't think any of them are missed. I just think I skipped over a couple.
Or you blended two into one.
Blended.
Yeah,
you
I
blended.
Think that's what I did.
That's what you did.
Because we're into a blended course.
Yes, we're into blended.
You blended.
Will it blend? All right, so here they are, once and for all. The five fears of what stops most people from even beginning to get involved in a rescue, let alone in something as traumatic as cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
One, fear of lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Two, fear of bloodborne disease.
Mm-hmm.
Three, unsure of my skills. Therefore, if I don't know what I'm doing, I might hurt or kill the person, even though they're dead. And if I hurt or kill them, I could get sued, or I could, number four, hurt the patient. And number five.
Hold it, that was three.
That was three.
Did I say hurt?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay, here we go.
Okay, try again.
This explains why the video is the way it is.
Don't
number
forget
one.
Confusion.
Number
you
one.
Seem to be good at that.
Lawsuit. Lawsuit. Who wrote these five fears anyway? Number one.
It's my brainchild.
Number one, lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, disease.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, unsure of skills. Therefore, I might. Number four, hurt or kill the patient.
There you go.
And if I hurt or kill the patient, I might get sued. I
hold
might
on,
hurt.
Hold on. Hold
who
on,
wrote
hold on.
This?
I'm sorry. Three and four really are the same one.
No.
Here, no, they're not.
You're
no,
saying
they're not.
It's half of the first, half of the third makes the fourth.
Distinctly different. Number one.
Who said this wasn't going to be a good podcast?
Number one.
I'm sorry.
Number one, liability.
We got headless chipmunks. We got.
Most people don't even believe that the Good Samaritan Act works.
Mm-hmm, but it
and
does.
Yet, since 1985, no one has suffered a legitimate lawsuit from helping a person in an emergency, at least in our state.
In our state, right.
In fact, the closest one was potentially the California deal.
Right.
However, that person being completely drunk at the time throws a skew into that.
It does. And New Jersey, they had a little issue there, too. But again, it's still, it was skewed because it wasn't truly.
It doesn't cover every scenario.
Well, listen, it's like the situation that I looked up. And when I built this five fears, I did some research, especially on Good Samaritan. Yeah. We found one case in the state of Michigan. You want to hear what it was? You've heard it before, Jody.
Mm-hmm.
This guy with his pickup truck sees a person in a car slumped over the wheel. Stops the truck past the vehicle, gets out, says, you look like they're having problems. Pulls the person out of the car, lays them in the road, gets back in his truck, sticks in reverse, runs over the patient, gets out of the truck. Hey, what'd you do with the patient? Where's the patient? Looks under the truck. Oh, it's under the truck. Gets in the truck, puts it in drive, pulls forward, runs over the patient again, and then puts the patient in the back of the truck and whisks them off to the hospital. That's called that's called vehicular homicide.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And was he claiming Good Samaritan?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
His attorney was, anyways.
Well, he didn't mean it. He was trying to help.
Uh-huh. Where did helping go wrong?
Where did Gomer?
Yeah, I started thinking to myself, I think you recognize that as a person you didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I mean, nobody in their right mind would do that, okay? So, done deal. That's the closest one, and that's not Good Samaritan, okay? So, the Good Samaritan law is a reciprocal law recognized in most states in the U.S. If you're from a state that has a very solid Good Samaritan law, and you travel cross-border, most Good Samaritan laws are reciprocal, meaning it applies to your law in the state that you live in and have your permanent address in. Therefore, if you practice your first aid and CPR to the standards of your Good Samaritan law in your state, even though you're in Florida, you will be covered under your state's Good Samaritan law. Okay? Got it? Get it? Got it?
No, we were asked last week
about
Canadian Good Samaritan law.
No, you
can't. Jody had to.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And Jody looked it up, and you came to what conclusion?
Yeah, Ontario province has a specific Good Samaritan Act or statute that is very good, very good. Then the other provinces, such as Quebec, it's a little different. Quebec? Yeah, Saskatchewan. Wait a minute.
BC?
I'm goofed. Okay, anyhow, the other provinces all have their own Good Samaritan type acts or type statutes. They don't all call
them variations.
Yeah, with variations. Mm-hmm. They don't all call them Good Samaritan acts, but there's different policies and laws.
So the point is,
but yeah,
respond.
Mm-hmm. Well, the point is, find out what your Good Samaritan law is. Mm-hmm. If you're in a state and this is a concern to you, then you should do a little bit of Google searching or library searching and find out what your Good Samaritan law is. Mm-hmm. Or call us toll free and we'll do the work for you. We don't have any problem with that.
Yep.
Now, in the UK, they don't have Good Samaritan law. Mm-hmm. They have other things that try to help protect you when you get involved, but they don't have a Good Samaritan coverage. Mm-hmm. Okay? So get to know your stuff. All right. But anyways, here in the United States, we have a pretty good Good Samaritan law. And if you don't do something to maliciously hurt the person and you only try to help them that and cause no further harm whenever possible, it has not lost a case yet.
Well, even in Michigan, negligence, in other words, causing further harm, still covered under Good Samaritan law because...
As long as it's not malicious.
Right, as long as it's not malicious. Even if you did cause harm, as long as it wasn't malicious, you were doing your best to help that person.
Hence why they have a Good Samaritan law.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, liability. Well, sorry, number two, disease.
Mm-hmm.
You should be afraid of disease. Yeah. However, if people would just realize that it takes three ingredients to get sick, the disease, a route of infection, how do I get the disease from the carrier to the susceptible host?
Mm-hmm.
And number three, a susceptible host. Now, it's not that difficult to get those three ingredients, but it's also not very difficult to break those three ingredients up and isolate. That's why we encourage people to buy a key dongle rescue kit, right?
Right.
It has a pair of gloves and it has a mask.
Yes.
With a one-way barrier.
Key ring.
What's a dongle?
Well, I don't know.
What's a dongle?
Well, dongle's like a USB stick, a flash drive.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it was the correct term, but just not used in this context before. And it
what do you call? Excuse me. What do you call?
Threw for a key ring.
What do you call a remote unlocking device on your keys?
A key ring remote unlocking device.
What do you call it? That's a dongle. Go to your car place. I'm going to solve this problem right now.
Car parts, this is Jason.
Yeah, hi, Jason. Hey, I'm trying to find out what the remote, you know, the remote that unlocks the doors and things, is that referred to as a key dongle?
Key remote, key fob, key transmitter.
Never a key dongle.
Never heard that, no.
Oh. All right. Well, thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
No,
all right. Bye bye. All right. I stand corrected.
I don't think we ever answered the question that was on the table.
Yes, we are. We're in the process. So, if you have a key rescue kit with you when you need it, you don't have to worry about bloodborne pathogens. Yep. Regardless. Okay. Now, there's the bloodborne diseases. The next one, I'm not sure what to do. It's been a year and a half since my last class. It's been a week and a half since my last class. It's been 2.5 years since my last class. And I don't know if I know what to do correctly. So they fear that if they do try something and it's not correct, number four.
Hurt them. There you go.
I might hurt or kill the patient.
Okay, you have never gotten to five.
No, hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Number four applies to two different types, Mr. Cynic.
Well, hold on. Back up to confusion again.
See?
You were there.
We never get to five.
No. Hang on.
Filling money.
You were at confusion.
On the count of three, not four. But five is right out.
You don't have to fear confusion because you cannot really mess up CPR.
There you go.
You might not be able to do it as adequately as you wish you could, but most of the time, the problem is not doing it wrong, it's not doing it at all. Dan.
All right.
The fear is not doing it wrong, it's not doing it.
Well, I thought we were...
Because we're going to go to lunch.
Backup singer, and you kind of hit those two notes and let you finish the...
Look, he's wearing a red shirt. And number four, if I could explain this, I think I know what I was trying to say. They don't want to hurt people for two different reasons, primarily. A, just because they're nice people. They don't want to make it worse. B, for loved ones to think that they actually caused the death as a failure on their behalf to do it correctly. That's too much weight on their shoulders.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that what it does is it causes them not to do anything at all, which in reality is actually doing as much harm as doing it severely wrong and causing reversible trauma, right?
Exactly.
I mean, people break ribs sneezing. Right. They break ribs in car accidents. They break ribs on football fields and soccer fields. They can get a heart contusion from a car accident and survive.
If they are alive, they may heal.
Correct.
If they're dead, they will not heal.
And after 6 minutes with no circulation, we start losing cells permanently. And not just your average Joe Blow cells. We're talking about valuable brain cells, heart cells, kidneys, liver, pancreas. All of those vascular need-to-have organs that are so dependent on oxygen and circulation that we don't see a lot of out-of-hospital survivals in extended downtimes without intervention of good cardiac compressions. It is invaluable that even if you think you're doing it a little bit off-center, that you're doing something, because something is almost always better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And dispatchers, at the end of a 911 call here in the U.S., if you're elsewhere in your country, use your local emergency medical services dialing numbers to get help. They will universally help walk you through the steps.
Yep. Right.
Over the phone.
Yep.
You're not alone. But if you don't make the call and if you don't try, there's really just one thing almost for sure. The person's going to remain dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So not doing something is actually making a decision too.
Yep.
And number five, the ambiguous number five, the scene is unsafe and I might die myself as a rescuer by getting involved in a burning building, in a slippery intersection, with electrical hazards, with explosive hazards, chemical hazards, gas hazards, a gunman, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only legitimate reason not to get involved, and here's why. A dead rescuer is useless. I don't care what your intention and how well trained you are. If you get injured or killed and cannot help, it's useless. So stay safe yourself. Now, and it's being that I'm explaining this, I'm going to explain more. Try to tell a loved one not to get involved, even if it means costing them their life.
Yeah.
Like somebody out drowning.
Correct.
And you go out and attempt to help.
Most loved ones, okay, by the sheer fact that they're doing it out of love, it doesn't have to be reasonable. Love is not reasonable. In fact, there is no greater love than that, that a one that would lay down their life for another. And so most mommies and daddies and loved ones of victims would rather die trying to save them than lay awake at night thinking there was something more I could do. And here's my response to that. Do everything you can to not let it happen in the first place. That's how you take charge of that, is if there's a pond in your backyard, put a fence around it. If you have a two-story house and you're afraid that there's a fire going to break out, do the drills ahead of time. Get the rescue ladder, fire ladders from your local stores ahead of time.
Yep.
Go through the crawl-out meeting area drill at the end of your driveway where you gather to do a head count to make sure your family's all out and safe so you don't return in for somebody who's not in there because they're in the backyard. If you're going to go ice skating and you're not sure that the rink is frozen solid and it's a deep pond, bring a ladder or a canoe or a kayak down with you so that you can slide it out and you can have something to go out and try to do a reach with an extendable pole or with a rake or a shovel or something so that you can reach out to them to get them out of the freezing water. Or test it by going to the shore. Make sure you know what the temperatures have been. Don't risk it. That's my goal.
Yeah, safe
of that.
Yeah, as I say, safety. It's always about prevention first.
It is.
It's always about prevention first because once the accident happens, it's too late now. Because now somebody's going to be at risk no matter what.
The best way to survive cardiac arrest is
never have one.
That's the only way to. That's the best because once you have a cardiac arrest, in the first minute, your chances of survival go down tremendously. Mm-hmm. Tremendously, so. Because there's a lot of complications.
Yep.
So that's why we talk about healthy lifestyles, too. I don't want to have a stroke or a heart attack. Well, then don't smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And don't eat high-fat diet. And get exercise. And make sure you have leafy vegetables and fruits. And, you know, it's not something, you know, I think in this country, in the U.S., even myself, up till about 5-7 years ago, I thought I could always reverse it with a pill. Mm-hmm. So if I screw up and I eat a dozen donuts every other day, well, that's, you know, I'm young. I can compensate. And if I have a problem, I'll just go to the doctor and say, hey, I got high cholesterol. I need Plavix, right? Mm-hmm. I can undo it with a pill. That's not true. That's not true. So we really can prevent certain things. And when we can't prevent them, we react. And when we react, let's react well. That's why ProCPR was designed. We needed you to be able to access us 24 hours, 7 days a week, and take my classroom to the internet with technology so that people could tap into it day or night, weekend or holiday, when it's convenient for you, not you trying to fit in with my classroom schedule during a workday or on a weekend when you want to spend time with your family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody that's out there naysaying ProCPR, we don't want to tick you off, and we're not trying to scam you. This is a way to reach out to save lives, and we sit around with a cup of coffee in our hand in awe of God's blessing that we can be a company that works towards saving lives. And about 2,000 people a week later, getting trained and certified, we are honored to serve our students, and we're looking forward to many years to come.
Well said.
There you got it. You've got all 5 fears.
We've always had all 5 fears. I just think we blended a couple.
We did.
Yeah.
But now we've got them separated, distinctly. Yeah.
But one of them is not how to hold a cat with a cup of coffee.
Well, the cat was trying to climb my leg with claws.
And the only option you had was to hold that cat.
We were in a hurry, and I couldn't get the cat to shoo. So I picked it up.
Oh, I got a cat to shoo.
And then when I picked it up, it wandered down. So that's why I tossed it down in the second video or whatever it was.
Gently.
I gently placed it. Yes. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week. So from the epicenter of rescue.
The pinnacle.
The epigastrium.
The summit. See you next week. Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com.
The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.